So, Dan, why don't you tell us how the Laszlo device got its start?
Yeah, for sure. Well, so our kind of guitarist and synth player and producer is a guy called Ross, who we call Guzzly Bear. I first saw him play down at the Covent Garden Rock Garden in London. He was playing with a band called Goldroom down there. And I went and saw them, and I thought they were awesome. But I felt they could really use another guitarist. So afterwards, I plied them with alcohol and gave them my number and said, can I join the band? And about 6 months later, I got a phone call from a pub called the Fighting Cocks, one of our local pubs, saying, hey, you know, we'd love you to come along and have a jam with us. But you may need to play a little bit of the bass guitar. So I rocked up, and they gave me a bass guitar. I'd never played one before. And I don't think I picked up a guitar for about 2 years. I just ended up playing bass for them. And we had a great time. And then when Goldroom kind of came to a natural end, Guzzly Bear and I carried on. And we enlisted a couple of old mates, Basket, who is a kind of virtuoso musician, can play everything, one of those types, who plays all sorts of us, piano and guitar mostly. And Leo Fenn, who is an old mate of ours and a great drummer. He's actually the son of Rick Fenn from 10cc. So we enlisted those guys and, yeah, got something together.
Nice, nice. Now, how did you develop your sound? Because I just heard The Looking Glass, your new single, and, you know, it's multifaceted, to say the least. I mean, I could probably list a multitude of styles that you're pulling from, everything from the Beatles to shoegaze to alt pop and so on, and that's just in one track, like 1 4-minute track. So, but it fits. It's like hooks from different genres all in one song, you know.
Yeah, right. And that's such a lovely thing to say, because I think we do like to make music that has different layers and has a bit of complexity to it. Stuff that improves the more you listen to it, you know, rather than something that you're bored of after a couple of listens. But, you know, the band is a real democracy. We're all songwriters within there. Everyone kind of likes their own thing. We've all got slightly different tastes. And so when we come together, I do think everyone adds a slightly different element and adds their own take on it. And it's great in that it means the album that we've got coming out is really diverse. There's loads of different styles of sounds on there. And I love writing music that way. But of course, it also means we're kind of ruled by the tyranny of the democracy. You know, everyone has their say. Everyone's got their own opinion. Everyone's got to make their point, which does mean, you know, most rehearsals end in, you know, either constant bickering, constant arguing, constant indecision. It takes us ages to get anything done whatsoever. Sometimes I kind of wish it was just one person's band and someone could just say, this is how we're doing it, boys, you know, and then it would make things a lot easier. But no, the truth is, I think everyone having their own voice and their own freedom to do their thing means that we do get to make, I hope we get to make interesting songs.
And it sounds like, you know, from what I've heard so far, that you're all contributing, you know, and you're all pulling from what you each individually love about music.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, that Looking Glass track is a typical example, really. You know, that was the main kind of opening melody from that is an idea that just kind of popped into my head when I was walking home one night. And normally when I have a little idea like that, I'll just like sing it into my phone so I can remember it. But I remember my phone battery was dead, so I had to sing it all the way home so I didn't forget it. And then I got home and laid it down, and it was really just a couple of lines and a bit of melody and a little bit of bass accompaniment. But then when I arrived at the studio and just started playing it just quietly, people just started picking up the rhythm and picking up instruments and just adding their own bits. Ross plays a really nice little piano lick over the top of it. And then Basket has got this beautiful Spanish-style guitar, which he plays. And then Basket wrote the kind of the change, the chorusy bit. He came up with that on the guitar. And, you know, it's a really lovely feeling when you start off with just a little idea and then you present it to your mates. And it takes on a life of its own, and it becomes something else. And, you know, then when you look back at it, you're like, wow, that they've really done well. And Leo will hate me if I don't say Leo then did some backing vocals as well and worked on a string section for it. So it really was, you know, we all contribute.
Nice, nice. And it shows, too, because, I mean, there is a diversity in what I've heard of your music so far that you don't find in a lot of places or in a lot of artists, because a lot of artists will stick to what you know, they know collectively.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, we haven't found what works yet. we're going to keep trying. I think when the album comes out as well, you'll see that there's a lot of different sounds on there. And I think part of that really is because the album is a bit of an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not kind of one session that we went and put everything down. It's tracks. Some of them probably go back for a few years. This is just the first opportunity we've had to try and put it all together and get it all out there. And I mean, the truth is we had about 20 tracks that we could have tried to squeeze onto this album. And we've had to whittle it down to about 11, I think. But because, you know, some are from the last 6 months, some are from 2.5 years ago, there's really real variation in how it's formed and in their style.
Now, how is it like, or what is it like to have people who've already been at the top or are there now or at the, you know, the highlight of their career, you know, come and tell you that they're fans? Because you've had people like that, like, you know, the, you know, Muse and Nana Cherry and so on and so forth. I mean, like, that's got to be like a fanboy's dream, man.
I know. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I think, you know, both of those occasions, they just happened to be in the crowd. I think Nina Cherry was just in the crowd at the Troubadour when we were playing down there. And I don't know who she was there for, but obviously she just came up to us afterwards and said, hey, she got what we were doing. And yeah, that's a great feeling, isn't it? And the same with the guy from Muse. I mean, I'm a big Muse fan as well. But I don't know what the story is behind that. I think they just happened to be there, and they were just, you know, they just raved about it. So they asked for more than that.
They might have just been there for drinks, man. You know, never know.
that's probably like.
So, well, what was the recording process like for Dualism, being as diverse as you are? I mean, you know, when you've got everybody in the band contributing equally like that.
Yeah, what we tend to do is get the studio session to lay the drums down first and try and get the drums right. And then we record our parts kind of separately and sometimes over a period of time. You know, we've all got day jobs, so it's about trying to fit it in, you know. And in fact, the drums were recorded in about 3 different sessions, I think. And that in itself is quite an ordeal, as you can imagine. And we're always arguing over getting the tempo right and getting the mood right and whether it's better to play this one to a click so we can lay our parts in easier later on. Mm-hmm. A lot of discussions. And then when it comes to laying in our parts, Guzzly Bear is the producer. He's a producer at BBC Radio, so he knows what he's doing. And he's also a bit of a slave driver. You know, I'll come in and sing my part and I'll think I've nailed it. And then he'll be like, no, you can do that better. And you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And then the poor lad, he makes all this extra work for himself. Because then I swear when we've all left, he's sat there in the studio auditioning all these different parts that we've recorded. And I've sent him absolutely potty trying to get the right ones. But fair play to him. You know, when he's always brings those first mixes back, they do tend to be note perfect, so he clearly gets the best out of everyone.
Yeah, and don't you think those are the best kind of producers? Because, I mean, it shows that they care, and it shows that they know you've got the talent to put out a good product.
Exactly, and he's a perfectionist, you know, and I think he'd admit that, but certainly if I was doing it, I'd be like, nah, we've done that by now. That's fine, boys, that's fine. But he wants to get every little note. And, you know, often it's stuff that I don't notice at all. And he's like, come on, there's that one little bit there. But you're right. I think then it makes the whole thing kind of come together and sound as good as it can get. So, yeah, he's great to work with.
Exactly. Now, being a bass player yourself, I'm a guitarist, but being a musician, as we are, you know, I always ask the obligatory question because I'm a geek with it too. What kind of gear are you using?
Yeah, good question. You know, so I'm really not a gearhead at all. And in fact, the bass that I use is actually Guzzly's bass. And the story I told of when he first asked me to play a little bit of bass when I was 16, it's that bass that I'm still using. So I've never even owned my own bass guitar.
Really?
I've just had his the whole time. But then we, you know, we tend to put that through. I've got, you know, like a big muff, and I've got a few pitch shifters, And I've got a vocal pedal, which is some kind of Zoom vocal pedal as well. So I'm probably the wrong man to ask this question to, because the rest of the boys have pedal boards which are absolutely stuffed to the rafters with all sorts of buttons, which, as far as I can tell, only make things louder and weirder. Those would be the ones to ask this question.
I mean, well, it looks like you're using a precision bass.
Right, okay, have you seen the face? Well, I'm pleased you know. I've got that bass, which is Guzzly's, which is the precision. Then I've got a jazz bass, which kicks around in our studio. Mm-hmm. And I've got another jazz bass at home, which is my brother's. And then I've got an acoustic bass, which Basket bought for me once for an acoustic set. So I've got a whole load of other people's equipment, and I kind of like it like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, sometimes that's the way to go, man. You know, you never know. So, yeah. But, you know, well, what have you got coming up with? I mean, Dualism comes out March 11th. I mean, so how are you going to support it?
Yeah, so it's out March 11th, that's right. And then we've got a big show at the Barfly in Camden, which is a cool venue. We haven't actually played there before, but I've seen a lot of good bands there. It's about 300 capacity, so we're hoping for a good turnout. And that's on the 12th, which is a Saturday night. So we'll be enjoying ourselves. And then the following week, we're playing down in Brighton, which is kind of a party town down on the sea, about an hour away from London, where we've got quite a few fans. We know a lot of people down there. We're playing a really cool little venue called the Green Door Store down there on the 20th. And then we've got a gig coming up in Bristol, which, again, where we've got quite a lot of fans out there, which is out on the west side of England. Not sure what the date on that is yet. So hopefully play to a whole load of people, make some noise, and flog some CDs.
Nice. Well, that's best of luck to you, man. I mean, like, what I've heard is primo. I mean, it's top shelf, man, all the way. So, I mean, you've got a fan over here in the States. I'd love to see you come here.
Yeah, okay. Well, the second someone's ready to give us the plane tickets, we'll be on the first flight out.
definitely, man. Let's make that happen. But well, give us a copy of Dualism when it comes out, and we'll review it for you.
Fantastic, for sure. And I see that you do like an MP3 of the week or something. Maybe we can try and find something to send you guys that you can release exclusively on Jamazy.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, and we've also got four radio stations too, so you know, we'll put it in rotation for you.
Great. I couldn't ask for more.
Well, thank you, Dan. I mean, best of luck to you. Like I said, the Laszlo device is, you know, totally kicking ass from what I'm seeing, man. You guys are great, man. Love your work.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for all the kind words, Ryan. We do really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all of the support. And we'll keep checking out Jamazy.